The new creature's responsibility to divine law.
Now just I want to share a message with you in the heading, The New Creature's Responsibility in Divine Law. The law covenant was a covenant that God made with Israel. It was briefly expressed in the Ten Commandments. The Apostle Paul says that our Lord was born under the law, not under the Ten Commandments merely, but under the law covenant. Colossians 4 chapter verse 4. This law covenant was typified by Hagar and not by Sarah. Our Lord was under this Hagar covenant, then under the law covenant, the covenant of the flesh, up to the time when he was 30 years of age. We have every reason to believe that he kept the law covenant before he became of age. The fact that God was willing to enter into a covenant of sacrifice with our Lord shows that he was perfect at the time. Our Lord persisted in keeping the law during the time of his ministry, and at the same time sacrificed those rites which were his because of keeping the law. With our Lord, it was the same as with Adam. Jesus was perfect at the time of his baptism. Therefore, no one could question his rights to life. God dealt with him as with one who had life rights. But Adam was placed on trial to see whether he would prove faithful. So our Lord Jesus was on trial during the 3.5 years of his ministry to prove his worthiness, to retain his life rights. If he had failed to keep the law any time during his ministry, he would have failed to have divine approval. Likewise, if he had failed to keep his covenant of sacrifice, he would have failed to make his calling and election sure. Condition of heart tested continuously. What our Lord did in this matter is on parity with what each one of us does. We come to the Lord in the beginning and present ourselves living sacrifices. His acceptance of us and the imputation of his merit to us makes us perfect beings from the divine standpoint. Everyone who is perfect in the flesh has a right to life according to the divine law. But the fact that we have a right to life for the moment don't prove that it will be everlasting. At the end of the 1,000 years of Christ's reign, the world will be actually perfect. They will then be subjected to a testing to prove whether or not this perfection is deep and abiding. So it was with our Lord before his consecration. He certainly had no such trials and contradictions of sinners against himself as he had afterwards. Consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself. Hebrews 12 chapter verse 3. Practically all his trials began at the time of his consecration. When our Lord was 30 years old, he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. His trial, which was to prove his worthiness, began at his consecration and continued until his death. If during the time of his ministry he had committed any sin whatever, would have been accepted of God then? Surely not. He was on trial as a new creature, and his trial did not end until on the cross he cried, "It is finished." This did not alter the fact, however, that he was still under the law. The law had dominion over him as long as he lived. As a new creature, he did not have a body of the spirit kind. He had a human body and was therefore responsible for everything that his human body would do. It is just so with us. The body is reckoned dead in one sense of the word. As the apostle says, "If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above." Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. Our flesh is reckoned dead, but we are figuratively raised from the dead. Romans 6th chapter verse 4 and 5. To whatever extent our bodies fall short of perfect obedience, Christ as a great advocate makes it good. 1st John chapter 2 verse 1. If any of us sin, we have an advocate with the Father. No matter how trivial the sin may be, it is a sin. God keeps no accounts with the flesh, but holds the new creature responsible. It is for these weaknesses of the flesh that the new creature goes daily to the Lord and says, "Forgive us our trespasses." We have an advocate with God, and if we sin, we may come to God and obtain grace in every time of need. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. The twofold trial of the new creature. As we have seen, when our Lord made his consecration at his baptism, he was a perfect human being. When the Father accepted his sacrifice, he was begotten again. And he was to this degree a new soul, a new creature, spirit. But he had this treasure of the new mind in an earthen vessel. The new creature was responsible for all that the old creature did. If the old creature had gotten him into trouble, the new creature would have been responsible. As previously stated, our Lord was under the dominion of the law as long as he lived. He died at the time of his baptism, that is to say, he died so far as his human will was concerned. But his human body did not die. His human body, therefore, was still as liable to every law as it had been before. That is, the flesh has its law and its responsibilities. But as a new creature, our Lord was under an additional law. As a new creature, he undertook to do more than merely keep the law. The blessings of that law covenant would have been merely earthly life. So, when our Lord consecrated himself, he sacrificed everything that went with the law covenant. No advocate for our Lord. If our Lord's human nature had failed to keep the law, the new creature would have been held responsible. We can explain this with a simple example. The new creature is like the man and the old creature like the dog. But the man is responsible for the dog. If the dog does damage or bites anyone, the owner is responsible. God has made a special arrangement for us. We may go to the throne of heavenly grace for the imperfections of the flesh, because we have an advocate. But Jesus had no advocate. Any misdeed of the part of his flesh would be charged to him directly. Grave responsibility resting on our Lord. But our Lord had nothing to shield him. The divine law has always existed. God always had certain laws of right and wrong. He himself is under a law of righteousness. Our Lord Jesus and all the holy angels are subject to a law of righteousness. From the divine standpoint, our Lord kept the law as a new creature. From the human standpoint, he kept it as an earthly creature. To God, we are one thing. To men, we are another. Jesus did not keep the law merely in the spirit. He kept it in the letter as well. As for ourselves, we cannot keep the letter of the law, but we must keep the spirit of it. Our Lord, being perfect, kept the law both in spirit and in letter. Every act of obedience to the law was credited to the new creature, and any failure would have brought death. Change of nature, a gradual process. But had our Lord remained under the law covenant, he would not have become the heir. For the child of the bond woman could not become heir with the son of the free woman. Colossians 4 chapter verse 30. The son of the free woman was a new creature. When our Lord made the covenant of sacrifice at Jordan, he passed from his fleshly relationship to Abraham into the spiritual relationship and became the spiritual seed of Abraham. For there he sacrificed all the blessings and favors which were his under the law covenant. But we are to remember that in our Lord's case, the change of nature required 3.5 years. He did not pass instantaneously from one relationship to the other, but by a process in which he was dying daily and also becoming alive daily. During those 3.5 years, he was in the process of transfer from the law covenant to the sacrificial covenant. After he had fulfilled the term of the covenant, he was put to death in the flesh and quickened in the spirit. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. But he did not enter the glorious station typified by Isaac until after his resurrection from the dead. So it is with us. The change requires a period of time during which we are dying daily and becoming more alive daily. We shall be made fully alive only in our resurrection. For flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 40. We have the foretaste of the blessing now, but it will not be ours completely until the sacrifice shall have been finished. Our Lord was made of the seed of David, but he was declared to be the Son of God with power when he was raised upon the spiritual plane. Romans 1st chapter verse 4. Purpose of our Lord's suffering. The scriptures give us to understand that our Lord's sufferings produced a variety of results. First of all, those sufferings were to fulfillment of the law, and by them he testified his obedience to the law of God. Second, it was appropriate that he should prove to God his loyalty and faithfulness, so as to establish his worthiness to be made the great Messiah and to be granted the great power and glory. The Apostle Paul gives us this particular thought. It pleased God, it pleased God to make the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. Hebrews 2nd chapter verse 10. This high priest was touched with a feeling of our infirmities, that he might be able to sympathize with those who are in trouble. He was faithful himself, having gone through various trials and testings. Hebrews 4 chapter verse 15. We have full confidence in him. All humanity will have full confidence in him, not only the power, but also in his justice, his love, his mercy. The sufferings of Jesus became a witness both to angels and to men. As a reward, the Father did not give him merely the high position that he had at first, but exalted him to his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, even to the divine nature. Ephesians 1st chapter verse 21. All this was a part of the Father's great plan. By our Lord's experiences, we see that the Heavenly Father has demonstrated his justice, his power, and his love in a most marvelous way. The church's experiences similar to our Lord's. Our Lord's perfecting indeed was a little different from ours, and yet there is a similarity between the two. He was perfect before he humbled himself. He was still perfect as a man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself. He proved himself worthy according to the covenant. Worthy is a lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Similarly, the followers of Jesus are to be sharers with him of the sufferings of this present time and in the glories which shall follow. For if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12. Although we are imperfect in the flesh, while he was perfect, yet the rope of his righteousness, the merit of his sacrifice, covers all of our blemishes and makes us as his footstep followers, holy and acceptable before the Father, has joined sacrifices with Jesus. The begetting of the Holy Spirit starts as in the life divine. We are not to be perfected in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And our perfection and acceptance with the Father will be demonstrated by our loyalty of our heart. Our justification comes to us as a reward of faith, regardless of works. But our glorification will follow only as a reward for faithfulness. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Amen. Thank you. Now, I want to tell you something about our family and the family as spiritual family. This is, I have two daughters. This is my elder daughter's family, Hepzibah and Dhanraj. This is actually whole family is here. Actually, the younger daughter's family marriage photo is here. Then next, this is my elder daughter's family. Elder daughter Hepzibah, son-in-law Dhanraj. Then next, we are blessed with two grandchildren. Janice Ruth, just 10 months old. Jonathan Kingsley, three years old. Next, this is the younger daughter, Salome, and the younger son-in-law. All the four, two daughters and son-in-laws, are consecrated. Then God blesses us by this. The next, this is our spiritual family. In Chennai, we are having the prayer hall. God blessed us to get a prayer hall in 1994 itself. So many brothers who visited our ecclesia from USA have visited our prayer hall. About 65 brethren are assembling. After 65, 48 are consecrated. In our spiritual family, the brethren from Hinduism, Muslim, then Roman Catholic, then other the South India, Church of South India and Lutheran Church are coming to our ecclesia. One interesting thing I want to tell you. One brother converted from Hinduism. He became a Bible student, consecrated. One sister from Muslim, he converted to Christianity. They got married with their acceptance of their parents. I only conduct their marriage. It was a very, very blessing in that feast, the three type of people. That brethren side Hindus, brother from sister side Muslims, in our ecclesia side Christians. All the three groups assembled there. Really, it was a very blessing to us. So, the God has blessed us, our spiritual family. Then, next, this is India, you might have seen in the world map. Then, next, this we have traveled from India to Pittsburgh. We have traveled about 13,729 kilometers. This is the shortest distance actually. And actually we have traveled more than this. Then next, this is the time difference between India and Pittsburgh, about 9.5 hours. Now the time there is 7:45 in India, 7:45 p.m. Then next, this is the India map. You can see the bottom, there is a red colored thing. This is Tamil Nadu. We are from Tamil Nadu. Tamil Nadu, in India, there are so many states. Next, you can see there, India statistics. The total number of languages in India is 18. 18 is the official language. But actually, we have more than 25 languages. The population in Tamil Nadu alone, in our state, is 72 million. The highest population of Bible students in India is the presence of Tamil Nadu only. Total Bible students in population is about 2,000. The next, this is Tamil Nadu, you can see there. Chennai is at the top, you can see the red mark. This is Chennai. There only we are assembling only in that Chennai. The Chennai is one of the important big cities in India. Our brother Russell visited India in 1912. That is 101 years back. He visited Chennai also. Chennai, Mumbai, Calcutta, Banaras, in so many cities he visited. One brother from Tamil Nadu, in our state, by name Deva Sahayam. Shortly, we'll call him as Devi. He only started the Bible Students Movement in Chennai, that in Tamil Nadu. From there, the Bible Students Movement was increasing. But at the time of 1942, the senior brothers has died. So the Bible Students Movement has fallen down from 42 to 68. After 68, there was no Bible student in Chennai at all. Only after my arrival, after 1971, I came for Chennai for the job. By God's grace, we started a small congregation in 1983. Then from that, God blessed us to increase our strength. Now, we are, as I said earlier, 65, we are assembling, 48 are consecrated in different part of the from different religions. And next, this is about the translation of volumes. Actually, in 1984 and 85, we wanted to translate the volumes, but we started the volume 2, because volume 2, 1 was had been translated by our senior brothers some 50 years back. The only volume available in Tamil is volume 1 alone. But after that, we tried to translate all the volumes. Volume 2 was translated in actually 1888, was completed, but we could not print it because of short of fund. Only after you brethren, American brethren helped us, we printed the volume 2 in 2005. After that, volume 4, then volume 5, then volume 6, then Tabernacle Soda, all were translated into Tamil, our local language, and printed and distributed. Then Manna and Songs and Light, it had been translated by our senior brothers, but again we revised it. I have printed this book also, now we have distributed to all the brethren. Then the volume 3, The Kingdom Come, this is an ongoing process. I hope that by this year end it will be completed. In 2014 it will be released, I think. If God will, we are planning to translate the reprints from the reverse side. We cannot complete it, I know. That from reverse, there is 1916, 1915, 1914, like that, we want to translate it. So this is the things about the volumes. We are in our class. The morning, Sunday morning, we are doing the discourses. Then the evening, we are doing the book study. This volume 1, we are doing it. But here, you are doing so many classes. That is book study, then Bible study, then testimony meeting. But we don't have any testimony meeting. Only book study, then discourses. In summer weekdays, we visit our brethren. That is, we will have some cottage prayer. Every brother, once in a week, we visit their house and we will do some prayer, some guidance, some help, something we'll do. Apart from this, now at Chennai, follow-up meetings are going on after the public meeting. Now around 300 brothers are assembling for the follow-up meeting. Only after the 35th class, there is a Trinity, we can surely say how many will come to our truth. Only in the time of Trinity, the people go back. So after that, we can expect the same 300 will be coming. May God bless us to do more things, work for the publication of the Bible, the truth. And also, please pray for us for our work, mainly for the translation work. Thank you.